Hi, it's Jeff. Welcome to track two in this masterclass for surviving our sewer society. And in this track, we're going deep into the work prison and into the sewer as we swim ourselves more and more free. As we get started here, I want to reiterate, of course, this is a very provocative idea that we live in a prison. That our jobs are like being in a prison. And I am somewhat playing around here, but as you guys know, I am deadly serious. I've dedicated my entire life to these topics, because they are the topics that I perceive matter most to us as a society, and matter most to me. How do we create the careers and lives that we truly want? How do we even figure out what we want? How do we take steps every day to create our most magical lives? Nobody ever teaches us this. We're shoved into the prison called school, which stuffs information into our heads, and we so-called graduate into work, which is even more of a prison for many of us. And so how do we break ourselves free? Not just to escape, but to find our greatest purpose, unlock our greatest destinies. So, yeah, it is a provocative idea to say our work is like a fucking prison. But look around you and tell me what you see. Why do so many of us hate our jobs? Why do so many of us have a case of the Mondays? Hey, thank God it's Friday. Year after year, the Gallup survey concludes that some two-thirds of us are either disengaged or actively disengaged in our jobs. And it makes sense. We may not be screwing bolts on a production line, but how many of our jobs or careers or whatever fancy language people use are inspiring to us? How many of our careers are working for us? So many of us are working hard, but how many of our jobs are working hard for us? How many of us are doing what we love, on track to creating the careers and lives we truly want? In America, the luckiest country in the world, perhaps. People are working around the clock and can't even afford healthcare, saving their entire lives just to send their kids to college. So they can come out and get the same jobs that make so many other people miserable. Who's winning at this? How many people wake up every day fired up to go to work, seeing that that's their stadium they get to compete in every day, excited for what's going to happen? How many people wake up feeling this way? See, this is the prison of work. It's the crux of the energy and labor and time prison. And it's not just people at the bottom of our society, but all the way up the tree. It's one of the things that was most disappointing to me. I worked at KFC, I collected shopping carts, did furniture removals. In one job, I just moved big tires around a dusty yard. In jobs in factories, people would go to the bathroom and fall asleep in there for hours to escape their job. Yet, when I got to Goldman Sachs, so many people there hated their jobs, were whining about it. In my analyst class, so many of the analysts with their countdown clocks, counting down the number of days that they had to serve out their sentence. They work at Goldman Sachs, might be one of the best employers on the planet. Yet how many of us feel this way? Lucky for the opportunities around us. And it's not just our jobs, as we'll keep coming back to. The problem isn't in our jobs, it's in our minds. And so many of us, to become more free in our jobs, must first become more free in our minds. Because when you become unstuck from those old, crappy ways of thinking, now, you can move towards creating new opportunities. perhaps the saddest community on the planet is the LinkedIn community. If you go on there, you see all these people griping about their job, just so desperately looking for inspiration to make it through the day. What's that about? None of us are working the chain gang. Unlike Andy Dufresne, we aren't actually in a prison. Unlike Viktor Frankl, we're not in a Nazi concentration camp. You talk to many people in the working world, and it would seem that way. The fact is, we have never, ever been luckier. We've never had more choice, never had more flexibility. We live in a world of great change, and that puts many careers under threat. Yet we should be celebrating that fewer humans are screwing in bolts on a production line. That other countries, that robots are taking away these jobs so we can all elevate into finding more and more purpose, creating more and more value for ourselves and for others around us. We have never had more opportunity than we have today to self-educate, to build new skills, to create new careers for ourselves, to change jobs, to build things of our own. We've never had more opportunity. And even though the work prison is hard for many of us, and I've been there, stuck in crappy jobs, but often happier, and stuck in my own mind in great jobs, and only we can set ourselves free. Because there's something worse than having a crappy job, isn't there? That's having no job. It's not being able to feed yourself or your family. It's not having something that you do of value every day. See, I know it's cool to think about escaping the 9-to-5. But Andy Dufresne wasn't free on that beach. There's no freedom in escape. What we're all looking for is what deeply engages us every day. Not just work that keeps us stimulated, but meaning, purpose. And what is more purposeful than being in service to yourself, your family, to the rest of humanity? We see this in our Navy SEAL business. Warriors. Some of the most skilled, resilient men on the planet. Yet when the operators come out of the SEALs, they're looking for their sense of community. They're looking to be of value. Again, find a deeper purpose and a mission. Doing what they love to do, serving other people. And isn't this what we all want? Our grandest purpose, to escape the prison of servitude and find what we're here to do and to be so immersed in doing it every day. Isn't this what our work is meant to be? The problem isn't just that so many of our jobs suck, so many companies suck, so many bosses suck. It's that we get stuck there. If you hate your job, why the fuck are you still in it? If you're whining about your job every day, why aren't you doing everything in your power to change it? We can create the careers and lives we truly want, but nobody's going to hand it to you. Nobody even hands you the keys to figuring it out and getting yourself more free. This is what we're going to be doing together in this track of the masterclass. And there's two big parts to this. First, we must get unstuck in our minds. It's not our jobs that keep us stuck. It's our minds. We drive ourselves crazy whining about our jobs. But the whining isn't happening in our jobs. It's happening inside our heads. And first we must become unstuck in our own thinking if we're to be able to navigate our careers and set ourselves more free. I've seen this time and time and time again, certainly for myself when I go back 20 years ago, how I needed to orient my thinking to what I want. And I see the worst side of it with a number of my clients. Frustrated in their jobs, stressed out all the time, and then they retire. They've got all the money they'll ever need. They've created great success. They're now free of the work prison, free of the time prison. But their minds are a mess. Because the problems were never in the job, they were in their head. And whether it's to become unstuck to create the career you truly want, or to feel amazing every day with or without your job, you must become unstuck in your mind in order to become truly free. And isn't this even more important than what's going on in your job? We talk about work-life balance, like those hours of work aren't in your life. But if you're not going to change your job, how can you love the one you're with? To more and more love every moment of your life. See, we can blame our jobs, but the grass is never greener. Even doing what I want is the hardest thing I've ever done. My clients who are living missions, doing what truly matters to them, including some pro bono clients I have who are building non-profits. Pushing yourself to your limit is not easy, whether you love what you do or not. The grass is never greener. And it all comes back to how we become unstuck in our thinking for setting ourselves more and more free. This we're covering in the first part to this track. Getting unstuck in the way you think about your career. We'll be covering four keys and some of the sewer traps you need to navigate along the way. That's part one, getting unstuck in your thinking. The second part to this, and the second part to this track, is how do you navigate your careers? Not just to escape, but for creating the career and life you truly want. To get yourself moving, to keep yourself moving, purposefully now. Creating the grandest vision, your deepest purpose, your destiny. See, the worst part about the prison is that we feel stuck doing something we don't want to do. Yet when you become unstuck in your thinking, you unlock new ideas. And what you really need is a highly systematic way to keep navigating your career, to be able to dream up the grandest vision of what you truly want, to identify the steps that keep you moving forward now, to lay out a roadmap, plan it out, keep executing, and building the skills that you need to keep creating the career you truly want. And that's the second part of this track. A way to keep moving forward towards the career that you truly want. Here we're also going to cover four keys and some of the sewer traps you need to navigate to keep moving forward, creating the career and life you truly want. Okay, so as I just laid up, there are two parts to this track. The second part we'll be covering next is navigating to the career and life you truly want. And the first part is becoming unstuck in your thinking. And here we're covering four keys. One, the illusion of choice. Two, making change. Three, escaping mediocrity. Four, getting in the flow. So let's dive into key number one, the illusion of choice. This might be the absolute sewer trap here. It's the illusion of choice. When people say you can do whatever you want when you grow up, that is total bullshit. What they mean is, you have to work. And you get to choose what you do, at least to some extent. You can't be an NBA player if you're 4'3". Right, these are bounded choices, right? The illusion of choices, you get to choose, yay! You can do whatever you want. No, you can't. It's a bounded choice. It's an illusory choice. And while this notion is obvious, it's one of the things that keeps us so stuck. We have so many confusing narratives in our society. Right, we all need to make money. We all need to work. Yet there's so much confusion around this. Like if you have a job that pays you a lot of money, oh, that person just does it for the money. Doesn't everyone do it for the money? Then we have the stereotypes of like the starving artist. We have advice like you should follow your passions. But what most parents really mean is follow your passions in a way that you can create a great life for yourself. Support yourself and your families. Yet, what happens when people get to college age? Okay, you should study what you want. And what if it doesn't lead you to a job? Are you there to study what you want? Are you there to get a job? Is it a coming-of-age experience? What is it all about? These confusing narratives keep us confused. Right, what is work meant to be? Have our standards become too high that you're meant to have purpose and passion for what you do? 200 years ago, you were pulling the plow. Is business here to serve us? Right, you got all these losers yelling about socialism these days. Is business here to serve us? Are we here to serve business? However you look at it, we're all in it together. And it's up to us to navigate the confusing illusion of choice to make the decisions that are right for you. Is it just to survive? Is it to thrive? Is it to do what you love? Is it to do what makes you a lot of money because you want to be rich? Is it to be in service to humanity? Is it to sell more useless junk? Or to sell stuff that's of great value to other people? You get to choose. All the judgment in our society only make these choices more confusing. You decide what's right for you. This is the opportunity we all have. We may all be enslaved by work. You have to do it. You have to go to work. But you get to choose how you perceive this choice. You get to choose how you think about it every day. You get to choose the decisions that are right for you. So this isn't easy to do, but this is one of the keys. To free your mind to make the right choices. In track one, we talked about the illusion of getting a job and working hard and becoming more free. A lawyer, a doctor, a banker, whoever it might be, so many of them stuck on the hedonic treadmill. Sure, they might be making more money, but they are no better off than so many people I worked with in the factory. So how do you free your mind from these illusions to make the right choices for you? Like a woman I love, who left a career in business to go back to what she loved as a chef, building an entirely different career in business, doing what she loved because she had the strength to choose. As Yuval Noah Harari writes in Sapiens, how many young college graduates have taken demanding jobs in high-powered firms, vowing that they'll work hard to earn enough money that will enable them to retire and pursue their real interests when they are 35? I know so many of these people. And it's so stereotyped he writes about it. And I used to be one of them. It's not like I'm some fucking genius who had it figured out. Everything I know from my mistakes and the work I did to transform my career and life. Answering his own question, Harari writes, but by the time they reach that age, they have large mortgages, children to school, houses in the suburbs that necessitate at least two cars per family, and the sense that life is not worth living without really good wine and expensive holidays abroad. See, this is one of the sewer traps that keeps us stuck. That we stick ourselves with our own choices in our own minds. The key is, how do you free your mind to make the choices that are right for you? Here's another key in sewer trap. See, one of the sewer traps in our society is that you decide what you want to do for the rest of your life. You're 16. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? There's no job for the rest of your life. The 40, 50 year career, the gold watch went away. You never have to decide what you're doing for the rest of your life. And the key is that you need an approach not to make one decision forever, but to keep navigating your career, keep navigating your choices, making the right decisions over time. A sewer trap is the paradigm. Do you get a good job or follow your passions? Right, it implies that one choice you need to make. No, you don't. You can get a good job, do that for a bunch of years, save money, and then follow your passions. Or you can follow your passions, maybe travel the world, maybe follow your passions in a way you don't get paid, and then go get a good job. You get to choose. You get to navigate choice for the rest of your life. See, and there's a big trick here, though. What's the key? You need to free your mind to choose over time, to accept that you're not making one decision for the rest of your life, but that you choose to want to keep making great decisions over time. And this is what you need in your system for doing what you want, which we'll talk about in part two. How do you navigate these choices? You accept that you keep navigating over time. And this is another key. It's only making this one choice at each point in time. See, if you're feeling stuck in your job right now, you're not choosing, do I go corporate for the rest of my life? You're making a very simple choice now. Do you want to stay whining about it or feel good about it? Or this simple choice, do you stay in your current job or explore other options? You're only making one simple choice at each point in time. The same for someone in college. People say to me, what advice would you give my kids? There's only one thing that matters early in life. One thing. Optionality. Period. It's not making the right choice. It's making the choices that enable you to keep expanding your options. And this is where education can be so powerful, to equip you with optionality over time, but also where it's a sewer trap, where your education can cost you so much money and be so limited in its application that it doesn't get you a job, let alone one that actually pays you enough to get yourself out of debt. The sewer trap of education will keep coming back to. But the key is, what choices do you make at that early stage that give you optionality to keep making different choices over time? So you see in this first key that when you see through the illusion of choice and you drop down deeper into that prison that keeps you stuck in your head, there's lots of ways to unlock it. There's sewer traps that you need to navigate. But when you see the prison for what it is, you see that your choices are already expanding. Key number two in this first part is that we can make change. This is where so many of us get stuck. We convince ourselves that we can't make change. Come back to the lawyer. They've spent all this money on their education, all this time climbing up the ladder in a law firm, and they become convinced that they're now stuck somehow. Oh, I can't walk away from that. Oh, I couldn't take a step back. Really? So why don't you just keep taking miserable steps forward? We trap ourselves by believing we're not adaptable to change. The very nature of survival is adapting to change. And that's what this second key is about, making change. See, and change is also one of these confusing messages in our society. Because our brains are set up to be so fucking fearful, we're terrified of change. We like stability, we crave certainty. Yet, we get so excited by a new iPhone. We're so excited by the future and things that might change. Our brains love novelty. We love things changing. Yet no matter how you look at it, all we are is change. There's nothing in us that's certain. Nothing in your life that's stable. Your hair is constantly growing, body constantly dying and creating new cells. All we are is changing. Our entire society, all it is changing. And part of the key to this work prison, to getting unstuck, is feeling great about changing. A changing world can be really hard to navigate. Like the auto workers decades ago, the coal miners today, journalists, every other profession that's going to get crushed by technological change. Yet Jeff Bezos couldn't have created a dime from what he's created billions and billions of dollars doing just 30 years ago. With change comes so much opportunity, yet only when we can keep seeing it this way. The sewer trap is our fear. The key is to keep utilizing change. And another key to this is that we must be willing to change. I think about all the people in our society who would profess to be open-minded. Us humans are so fucking closed-minded. You can't even get a Democrat to be open to a Republican idea, or vice versa. To change requires will and skill and the ability to become unstuck from old ways of thinking. We must be willing to let go of sunk costs like a cost of an education or having spent decades climbing some ladder that's leaning against the wrong wall. We must be willing to let go of these old ways of being and make change. Willing to take off the training wheels, to get rid of the safety net and to live truly free by never again being afraid of change, let alone embracing it and creating massive opportunity through massive change. And another key here, and this is core to part one, we must become unstuck from our thinking. We must change old ways of thinking. The absolute worst thing on the planet are other people. Nothing keeps us more stuck than other stuck people all around us. Like that LinkedIn community of stuck people. Like all the cynical, frustrated, beaten down people in jobs, infecting other people with their human disease. We must be willing to change those people. Stop them pulling you down into the sewer every day. And if you're one of those people, to become unstuck, you must change your thinking. You can never create new opportunities while you're whining about an old one. You want to redirect your mind to what you want. Get into an optimistic place. Be imagining all the things that are possible for you. And instead of wasting time whining about what it isn't, taking your time and putting it to creating the career you truly want. And there's so many busted paradigms in our minds. The sewer of human thinking is as limitless as the opportunities we can tune our minds into. For instance, you may have to go to work, but it doesn't mean you have to fall in the bullshit that many people do. Oh, just gotta go. Man, I just don't want to be here. Oh, Oh, it's these narratives that keep us stuck and miserable. As I said earlier, there's tons of sugar in the world. It doesn't mean you have to feed yourself on it all day, every day. The worst thing is not having a job, is having no purpose. When you can look for great purposefulness, not in your job, in every minute, every day, find what's purposeful. If you're stuck in your thinking, get unstuck in it. Change your thinking. See, we've never had more ability to be more free. 200 years ago, what choice would you have had? 75 years ago, you might have been drafted into a world war. Look at your life and see that all the change that you've ever made begins with changing your thinking. Another key to changing thinking is education. And here I'm not talking about the sewer trap of school and college, where you spend all of the money you've got or all the time you've got on stuff that's mostly useless to actually creating the career and life you want. I'm talking about educating yourself, self-education, continuous learning, continuous education. I challenge every person who feels stuck in their job to tell me how they've been growing. I challenge any person who feels underpaid to tell me how they've added skills and become more valuable. I challenge anyone who feels like they're limited to how much more limitless are they becoming by getting more educated, by getting smarter, more skilled, building themselves into someone who's more capable. Making change comes down to changing ourselves for the better. Look at all the auto workers that were caught off guard. Who the fuck should have been caught off guard? How many decades did robots get put into the factories? The people who were retraining were able to transform. And this is where our companies will let you down. If you're waiting for your company to retrain you, to give you a new set of skills, you might be waiting all the way till the employment line. Train yourself. Keep getting educated. Keep making change in who you are and what you're capable of doing. And it's so easy to keep making change in the world. Ah, now we're at my favorite key. Key number three in this part one to becoming unstuck in your mind. The disease of mediocrity. This is the grossest disease that's infected nearly all of humanity. My whole life I've been running away from mediocrity everywhere. It's important we get the definition right. There's more mediocrity on Wall Street at Goldman Sachs than there is at KFC. And here we must get the definition of mediocrity right. It's not having a low-paying job. Those people are the fucking heroes of our world. Mediocrity is operating within your limits. It's leaving your capabilities on the table. It's playing a game that's inside your comfort zone, that's way inside your potential. And it's everywhere. The disease is everywhere. See, growing up working poor, I didn't understand why all the kids weren't serious about actually elevating their lives. Then I got to university, and I was amongst all these private school kids who were grosser to me, throwing away this incredible opportunity to transform their lives, just trying to pass. Ugh. I saw the same at Goldman Sachs. So many people at Goldman Sachs, the best achievement they had was getting the job. They haven't done anything to add value to themselves, done nothing to become more valuable to the firm. They show up every day and do their job. But how many of them become truly valuable to the firm? How many of them truly lead? How many of them mentor others? How many of them grow every day? How many of them have great ambition to be the best they can be? Mediocrity is everywhere. private equity industry. Ugh. People in high-paying jobs get paid so much money to be mediocre because they've relied on accumulated advantage. They went to the right schools, they got the right job, and they're in an annuity business. Sure, they have to work really hard. They have to work long hours. But so few of them actually do anything hard. They're not adding to their skills. They're not leaning into their capabilities. They're not challenging themselves to get better and better every day. They're resting on a job that pays them really well, rather than stretching their capabilities. My clients, my friends, people I respect, are builders. Inside these great firms, they're leaders building great careers, serving others in the firm, unleashing their capability. And they leave these firms and build their own firms because they dream to challenge themselves and to get beyond the gross mediocrity that so many people in high-paying jobs have settled for. And I don't mean to excuse everyone in low-paying jobs. There's a lot of mediocrity there. And I wish everyone would look for ways to keep expanding their capabilities, to keep growing, to keep unleashing themselves. But so many people have less opportunity than those sitting in these high-paying jobs with money in the bank, incredible resumes, incredible networks, whining about their jobs because they're stuck in mediocrity. And this is the sewer trap. They keep themselves stuck. What sort of patterns in the brain keep you stuck in mediocrity? Fear of failure. Trying to be significant because you got a business card. A fear of doing hard things. They honor top athletes like Tom Brady. They call themselves top athletes. Yet so few people in these jobs have even read a book, let alone trained a new skill in the last 10 years. Top athletes are constantly unleashing their capabilities, looking for ways to grow, instead of getting stuck in the sewer of fear, unleashing yourself from, the grossness of mediocrity. A business builder recently said to me, "The idea of doing something easy makes me want to kill myself. I'd rather die doing something that's impossibly hard and challenging myself than staying in one of those other jobs that's boring and easy." See, one of the sewer traps here is that so many of those losers stuck in mediocrity are unwilling to take risk. They want an easy way to feel successful. Yet how successful are you if you've never done anything that challenged your own mediocrity? And that's what you see from leaders of these firms. They have such little respect for most of the people who work for them because those people could never be them. They're not ambitious. They're not striving. They're not growing every day to lead and drive more value for other people. And if you ever want to lead your firm, let alone actually build something else of great value, you must become unstuck in your thinking and swim out of the sewer of mediocrity. And this brings us to the fourth key in this part one of getting unstuck in your thinking. Getting in the flow. See, in getting in the flow, many people these days are familiar with the flow state, which is the peak state for human performance and human happiness. And the key to the flow state is it's what people talk about when they say be present. What do they mean by be present? It means let go of thinking and be where you are now. As we go deeper into these topics, and if you went deep into my work, you would see one of the key premises is you stop thinking. The thing that fucks us up so much is that thinking mind. And the key to becoming unstuck in your thinking is to stop thinking. Diseases of thinking, depression, anxiety, fear, confusion, worry. Every disease of thinking has one thing in common. What is it? Thinking. So how do you end every disease of thinking? You stop thinking. You can't be worried if you're never thinking about shit. How do you stop thinking? This is one of the tricks. The teachings like be present, that's all bullshit. Meditation is bullshit. 5 minutes of meditation a day is like doing half a push-up every week. It'll do nothing for you. Instead, you train yourself to live in the flow. How do you do this? You refuse to indulge thinking. And instead of indulging thinking, you become so absorbed in what you're doing. And a key here to why this really matters is what I said before on work-life balance. There's so many basic paradigms from all these basic teachers. Oh, you need a work-life balance. Which part of your work isn't part of your life? It's all your life. So how do you choose to enjoy the minutes, seconds, days of your life? This is the only thing you'll ever have, is how you are right now experiencing the moments of your life. So you can be stuck thinking about what sucks in your job, or worried about what to do, or not knowing what to do, or whining about it, or standing around the water cooler with some other loser. Or you can stop thinking about shit. Choose to look for what you love in what you're doing and become so absorbed in doing your job now and creating other opportunities that you're just immersed in this flow. Again, you got all these bullshit teachers talking about purpose and passion. It's all crap. Become purposeful in this moment. Get purposefully absorbed in your flow. Be so immersed in what you're doing, you bring deep purpose to every moment. A key here is to stop thinking about outcomes, to stop thinking about where is this headed, and to become immersed in the process. We have all these platitudes like, oh, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And if you go on LinkedIn all day, every day, you can see all these platitudes. People pasting their little inspirational quotes to get through the day. If you were living that, you'd never be on LinkedIn. Live your journey of your day. Do your deep work, become so fully immersed in what you're doing that you're in the flow. And when you get beyond thinking about outcomes, like, oh, they better pay me this year, or only 200 days until I get my bonus, and you just become immersed in what you're doing now, you see all the amazing things that really exist in our jobs. This is a place you get to show up every day and play your best game. It's how you grow, how you learn, how you add value to yourself and the world, how you relate to other people in a professional way. I think about all the things Goldman Sachs taught me, the limits that I could work 100 hours a week and still keep crushing it, standards of excellence, that you never stop until the job is done right. Those analysts can be looking at their countdown clock, whining about how many days of servitude in their most amazing job, or be so immersed in what you get in the flow of the experience. Another key here is learning to love it because it's hard. See, we're talking about being trapped in the prison, swimming through the sewer traps that keep us more stuck. And that might seem hard to people, but you can love it. Love it because it's hard. Love it because it challenges you to be your best. Love it because it's breaking you. Love it because it forces you to grow. It's like an Instagram post I put on my website. from retired Navy SEAL Goggins, where he's encouraging the new class of Navy SEALs to prepare for Hell Week. He's not telling them it's hard and you just got to get through it. He says to them, you need to pray for bad weather, the coldest water, and a broken fucking body. You should want the worst case scenario on everything to do with Hell Week. Pray for it to be so hard that only your fucking boat crew makes it all the way through. They make it through because you lead those motherfuckers through the worst Hell Week ever. This is how truly strong people endure. How truly strong people get strong. They swim through the fucking sewer and they love it because they never want to be stuck with those other fucking losers whining about their jobs. Love it because it's hard. Love it because escaping the prison forces you to get better, become better. By loving, just getting in the flow. See, I saw this when I was skiing every day in Vail. My work was so hard it was breaking my fucking mind. Yet I saw, on the mountain, I only skied the hard stuff. I only challenged myself to ski stuff that was hard for me, and I began to see my work the same way. That it was hard was why I was doing it. I was bored out of my fucking brain in most of the jobs I did. I chose something that was so hard that it broke me. And I loved it because it was hard. And this demands everything from you. Your peak performance. Your peak state. In the flow state. Not only are you delivering your best, but you're your happiest as well. And these are four keys and many sub-keys to how you first break out of the mental prison that keeps us stuck in our jobs. By becoming unstuck in your mind, you're already more free. And this brings us to part two. What do you need? Once you're unstuck in your mind, you're thinking the right ways. You need a way to navigate your career, to keep creating the career and life you truly want. Here in this part, we're going to be picking up four keys. One, keep driving towards your purpose. Two, you need a system that keeps you moving forward. Three, you need a way to crush your current job and keep driving from where you are. Four, a way to keep creating more and more opportunities. Now, as we enter this prison and swim out the sewers together, really what we're doing is going deep into the core of my work. So this is where it really began for me nearly 20 years ago at Goldman Sachs, when I stepped back from my career and said, what do I want? And how do you create the career and life that you truly want? This is the topic of my first book that we've included along with this masterclass. And there's also other masterclasses on this. One masterclass on the topic of what do I want? That's answering what I perceive to be the hardest question in this, is so many of us get stuck in not knowing what we want. And there's a second masterclass, it's about 13 hours, on the system for winning, which is also known as a system for doing what you want. And inside that masterclass, I walk through in detail some of the stuff we're covering here. So let's drop into part two. In part one, we talked about getting unstuck in your mind. And this part two is about you need a way to navigate your career. And the first key is to keep driving towards your purpose. See, this is the entire game right here. Because if you're making change, if you're navigating your career, you have to first decide that you want to keep moving forward towards what truly matters to you. See, many people don't, and that's cool too. If you hate your job and you're whining about it, that's awful. But it may be absolutely good enough for so many people to just be content with what they do.
to recognize it's not their purpose. And it doesn't matter. They're not getting paid as much as they could, and that's all good too. See, not everyone wants to drive towards their purpose. They might perceive that their lives have purpose in other ways, or they may just have no purpose in life. And that's okay. Who's to say what's right for you? Yet if you're someone who wants to navigate your career, you must first decide that you're willing to keep driving towards your purpose, to set the direction to keep creating the career you truly want, and then to do what it takes to keep navigating there. Because this is the sewer that we're swimming through. To keep navigating your career and keep moving towards what you truly want takes real effort. It's easy to stay in a job you hate and sit there and whine. It might be hard to do, but it's easy. Because you're taking zero responsibility for your own life. Instead, though, when you set great purpose and you commit yourself to what truly matters to you, now it's on you to keep swimming. And isn't this the most purposeful thing we can do? Not to get to that point where we have great purpose, but to discover it. As I said earlier, I do pro bono work for a number of CEOs of nonprofits. They're doing something that deeply matters to them. There's great purpose in what they do, but it doesn't make it easy. In fact, it makes it very, very hard. Because now you've got great purpose. It really matters to you. You care so much. You're fully invested. And this is why it's key number one. Because when you open your mind to having this great purpose, you unlock something deep inside of you. And you give yourself this direction to keep moving forward. This is what I discovered matters most to me. In leaving Goldman Sachs at age 29 and taking 18 months off. For some 6 years, I'd ask my question, what do I want? What do I want? Reading thousands of books. Thinking that when I got out of my job, then I would feel amazing. And I did. I did some amazing things. Yet it didn't take very long for my brain to say, now what? Now what matters to me? And this is where I learned there is so little freedom in escape. That what we're all seeking is that thing that we never want to escape from. That we truly love, where we have great purpose, a great sense of mission. And we're just fully immersed in it every day. This too is what I see in our Navy SEAL business. The soldiers coming out of serving their country, more than anything, just want another mission. Doing the things that they're great at, that they enjoy doing. Where they can be of great value. And ideally, serving other people. This I believe to be the great power inside all of us, but also the great sewer trap. Because finding purpose can be so elusive, and because our society does nothing to actually help us find our purpose, to find our passion, then you got a lot of those self-help losers out there as well. Oh, you just got to find your purpose. Yeah, you really need to find your passion. Just live with passion. Okay, what does that mean? If you haven't found it, how do you find it? Got a lot of platitudes, you just got to keep looking. What does that even mean? Where do you look? How do you look? So many people get stuck in the sewer trap, thinking they need to first find their purpose. They need to find their passion. And this is what my program on What Do I Want, what my book is about. You don't need to find your purpose in order to be living with great purpose. If you don't know your purpose, you make a decision to make finding your purpose your purpose. You build a process that enables you to keep moving forward, even if you don't know what your purpose is. In becoming purposeful in this process, you keep moving forward every day. And this is the second key to keep navigating your career. You want to keep moving forward. And you want a system that enables you to do this. See, and this is what I most discovered in my work in stepping back and asking, what do I want? What do I want? It's the questions that keep us stuck. Not knowing what we want, we stay more stuck. Not knowing how to get what we want, we stay more stuck. And in the sewer of that mind, we get frustrated or pessimistic or disappointed. When, instead of getting stuck not knowing or not knowing how, if we can just keep moving forward, we figure it out over time. This is one of the things my system for doing what you want is set up to do. Even if you don't know what you want, you can still keep moving forward. You never get stuck at these questions, at what I refer to as the decision points. Instead, you design a process that enables you to keep moving forward irrespective. And there's two key parts to this process. The first is, you don't need to know what you want. You only need a grand vision. You might have lots of grand visions. In one vision, you might say, I might be in this job for the rest of my life, and I want to run my company, or I want to have this certain job. Great. You never need to know how. That might be 10 years from now, might be 40 years from now. What's that vision? Because when you get excited about the vision, now you get excited about taking the steps that keep you moving forward. Another vision might be, well, I might go start my own business. Great. You don't even need to know what business, or when you'll do it, or how you'll do it. Just create that grand vision. Maybe it's a year from now, maybe it's a week from now, maybe it's 15 years from now. No matter what, just by creating these grand visions, you orient yourself towards what you want. And then you only need to take the steps right in front of you. See, this is the second thing you need. You need a grand vision, and then to just hone in on the steps right in front of you. This is a game where the self-help losers can keep people stuck in the sewer of thinking. You need to know what you want. You need to lay out your path. You need to have a detailed plan. Wrong! 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 All you need is a way to keep moving forward. Because as you keep moving forward, the rest of your plan will keep presenting itself. See, where people get stuck in navigating is that they don't know, so they don't do anything. So few people have goals because no one ever teaches us how to set goals in the right way to keep moving forward. This is one of the keys. You don't need to know step number 758 when you're at step number one. You just need to get to step number two. When you're sitting at a restaurant looking to order dinner, you're not thinking about what you're going to order for dinner 3 months from now. You're not thinking about what you're going to have for breakfast tomorrow morning. You're only focused on that one meal that's right in front of you. And everything in our lives works the same way. If only you can keep moving forward, keep taking those steps, and the rest of your plan will keep becoming more and more obvious to you. Again, this is one of the sewer traps of education and the illusion of choice. At age 16, what do you want to be? I want to be a doctor. Okay, for the rest of your life? Now you've got to go get that education, spend the next 10 years. So that what, you can be a doctor for another year? Or 10 years or 100 years, who knows? All you need to know is you are where you are now. And how do you keep making the choices that keep moving you forward? It's true. This is a very, very simple model. All you need is a grand vision and to hone in on that step right in front of you. Because no matter what you want, there's only one way you're getting there. It's from where you are right now. When you're sitting in your driveway in a car, think about what route do you take to get to the supermarket? You can sit there forever thinking about it. Yet no matter what route you take, it begins with driving out of the driveway. So once you get moving, then you can think about the next turn and the next turn.
This is the way we follow GPS, right? How often do we even know where we're headed these days? Versus just following it to the end of a street and turning when it tells us to turn. We can navigate our entire careers this way because it keeps us moving forward. The third key to navigating your career is to crush your current job. See, this is the thing, right? A lot of the time when people are bummed out about their job, they're not performing. And being bummed out about their job, they're not performing in the way that would create more opportunities for them. They sit there whining about how their job isn't this or their job isn't that. Yet, if only they could become unstuck in their thinking and see their job differently, they would already be more engaged in it. Then if they could look for what was great about it and seek out challenges, they could get more in the flow. And of course, every other opportunity that you will ever create begins from where you are right now. Come back to the analogy of sitting in your driveway, not knowing whether to go left or right to the supermarket. No matter where you're headed, you're only getting there from where you are right now. And no matter what career you want to create for yourself, it all gets created from the job that you're in right now. So the absolute best way for you to keep navigating your career is to do what you can to be absolutely crushing your job. A key here is how. See, the biggest sewer trap, maybe in our entire society, is put your head down and work hard. In school, we learn to succeed with brute force, throwing hours at the problem. With such an unskilled approach, most of what it takes to succeed in school is having a good memory and being able to consume a lot of information. Yet they never even teach you basic memory techniques nor speed reading. The lesson we learn is that success is earned through hard work and sacrifice and grinding it out. Oh, you just gotta hustle, man. Yeah, you just gotta hustle. Head down, work hard. Might be the greatest sewer trap of our lives. And the key to winning is having a highly systematic approach, being able to step back, get very clear on what it takes to succeed, and being able to do it. And this is my system for doing what you want, also known as the system for winning. Define your goals in a way you're moving towards them. Step one. Step two, getting it. Know what it takes to win. Step three, plan it. Step four, execute. Step five, getting skills. Become highly skilled at the way you win and drive it every day. The real key in the system for doing what you want is step two, getting it. This is all about getting extremely clear on what it takes for you to win. Not that head down, work hard sewer trap. But what does it really take to drive the results for creating the career you truly want? What must you be able to do if you want to win? If you look at getting it in the book that we provided with this masterclass, you'll see that it's broken down into three key sections. One, role models and modeling your role. What does it really take to win at what you do? Two, the principles of getting it. And there are only five principles. Performance, people, process, control destiny, and feed forward. And here I want to lay out the sixth principle. Even though I said there's only five principles, the sixth principle is the major principle. This one principle is the key, the most important thing you can do for crushing your career and crushing everything you do in life. And this key, drum roll please, is value. Creating value is the meta key. Create more and more value. How do you crush your career? Create more value. How do you get paid more? Create more value. How do you get promoted? Create more value.
How do you create more options in your career? Create more value. Value, 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 value. Matters most to crushing your career, for navigating your career, creating the career you truly want. Create more value.
And this here can take a progression in mindset for some of us. One of the sewer traps in our jobs is that we think we're selling time. It's shocking to me that even many people who teach these topics fail to get this. We're never selling time. You're never selling your 9-to-5. You're selling value. You're selling the value that you create in that time. So if you want to work less hours, create more value. If you want to be of more value to your company, create more value in that time. And the reason this is such a massive shift is because when you see that your job is about creating value, then you can hone in on what value truly matters to creating more success for yourself. And you can get out of the mindset of selling time and instead look at every moment as being an opportunity for you to be in the flow, creating more value. And when you can see your time as being about delivering value, now you can feel more valued. This really matters in a job, but it matters even more when you're an entrepreneur, because then time is truly only about value. Every second you spend on tasks that don't create value, you're failing to get paid. You're failing to build something that really matters to you. And anyone who transitions from a job to the role of an entrepreneur learns very, very quickly it's about selling value. And they learn to hone in on their highest value tasks. Think about a lawyer selling their time every 12 minutes. Are they selling time? No. They're selling value. And if they want to win in a law firm or in building their own firm, they need to be so good at delivering more and more value per unit of time. The same is true in no matter what you do. This is why value is so important. And it is the major principle in crushing your current job and using it as a vehicle to create every other opportunity. And this leads us into the fourth key in navigating your career. When you're crushing your current job, it is the source of all other opportunity. So how do you keep honing in on crushing your status quo path while also creating other opportunities? When you look in the book, or if you do the What Do I Want masterclass, you'll see a tool called the Dual Track Roadmap. This is a tool that I built for driving your current career while also assessing your other opportunities. It's very, very simple. And it comes back to the notion we talked about earlier. There's only two things you need to do for navigating your career. Create these visions. Whatever your grandest visions are, 10 years from now, 40 years from now, 3 months from now, see those visions out in front of you. One on your status quo track. Maybe other alternatives that you might want to do. And then all you need to do is hone in on that step right in front of you. And this is what the Dual Track Roadmap is built to do. You might think about it like driving across the country. You might be sitting in California in that driveway, imagining driving to New York. You don't need to know every turn along the way. Once you get driving, you can keep navigating from there. And there might be many different outcomes. You might start driving and decide, you want to head to Maine instead. Or you want to head to Florida. Great. You might get driving having 10 different destinations that you might imagine getting to. And with all of these visions, all you need to hone in on is that next step right in front of you. This is a trick to the Dual Track Roadmap because it keeps you moving forward. And as long as you're moving, you're still continuously navigating towards this grandest purpose of yours. A sewer trap in creating other opportunities
is that we often become stuck. It's the same thing we talked about in part one. You're a lawyer, you've been doing it 10 years, and now it's like, well, I'm a lawyer for life. Or you're an investment banker, I don't want to go corporate. There are so many things that you can do. So many of us have so many options, but only when you open your mind. And imagine all the options that are possible for you. A key to this is to see that your experience and your education can be used in so many ways. What you learn as a doctor, or a lawyer, or a banker can be applied in so many businesses, in so many opportunities. And it just comes down to you being willing to navigate, to see all the opportunities that might be in front of you. The trap is that we become so narrowly focused when the key is to see the opportunities that didn't even exist 10 years ago. We have so much choice and flexibility, but only when we see it this way. Part of the sewer trap here is we say, I just don't know what I want. We've covered this yet. When you think about it, you don't have many options. You're navigating from where you are. And when you get clear on your options, it makes it so much easier to keep moving. What are they? But the key is to lay them out so simply, like we do in the dual track roadmap. One, keep driving your current track. Two, change jobs in your current company. Three, change companies. Four, change companies and change industries. Five, build something of your own. Maybe there are others as well, but there are a small number of options for you. And when you just lay them out as potential opportunities, you get excited about them. Now you're unstuck in your mind. Now you're free for scheming and dreaming, imagining all these grand outcomes for you and the amazing journey you'll have along the way. And then you only need to step right up and hone in on that step that's right in front of you. So you see that in this part two, once you've decided that you're going to set purpose, you've built a process to keep yourself moving forward. You hone in on winning in your current job, getting so good at the way that you drive your current track. And then you're able to develop a process like this roadmap for analyzing your other alternatives along the way. This is all you ever need for evolving your career over the rest of your life. As we talked about, a trap is thinking you're making this one decision for the rest of your life. No, you're not. You're continuously evolving your career. You're continuously navigating over time, moving towards this grandest vision, your grand purpose in life. And so I hope you can see that what we've covered in this track, in these two parts, first, get yourself unstuck in your mind. Second, have a way of navigating your career for the rest of your life. And when you bring these two things together, even though we might be stuck in the prison of work, we may have to do it. There are all these illusions and difficult things around it. Just by having a process to keep moving forward and getting unstuck in our minds, we're already becoming more free. Now, before we finish up this track, I want to leave you with two practices. The first is I suggest that you read the book that came along with this, because it has in it what you need. And of course, this is a big practice, but inside this book, there are topics on training your mind, a chapter called Starting With You, an exercise on building your limitless mind. So you can get out of that thinking that keeps people so stuck and keep navigating towards what you want. The second thing in the book is the entire system for doing what you want.
so you can work your way through that and not just develop some ideas, but actually build your system for navigating your career and becoming more free. And this is the second practice. I wrote the one book that I wish someone handed me when I stepped back from my career. But it's not designed to just be read. It's designed to be worked through. Like one of those auto manuals that you pull out to work on your car. It's designed to get greasy and dog-eared and used over and over and over again every day for laying out your system and driving the career you truly want. And that's practice too. Don't just read the book. Actually do the work. Lay out your system. Lay out your exercise for training your mind and being unstuck. And then start putting your system to work today. To get free of that prison of work. Keep creating your grandest life, your work of great purpose is right here in front of you. Now, this brings us to the end of this track. I hope you've gotten a lot of value from this. I look forward to catching up with you on the next track, where we dive deep into the financial prison and swim through the sewers to get you more and more financially free.